Hello and croeso to episode 113 of Alternative Wales, the podcast. We've got a lot to catch up on, as we haven't really spoken about the club game over the last few weeks. So to do that, tonight we've got Tommy Kaus. Kaus, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Right, yeah, nice to be back. What is it, 48 hours after the last pod or something like that?
Yeah, not been long.
You can never have too much of a good thing, right?
Amen. We're a slave to the content, and that's what we're all about. And of course, as usual, we've got Rodri Davis. Rod, how are you?
Yeah, not bad. Almost back to full fitness now after Latvia. So yeah, all good. Nothing of value is going to come out of my mouth there. So you carry on.
a rare occurrence that neither of you really have any complaints of, being hungover.
I'm absolutely fucking shattered. To be honest.
Oh, right.
I was going to say, right, you know, we're trying to keep it light, but I mean, if you want complaints, we'll give you the sim. Like,
yeah, we could take 3 hours to do it, the extended podcast. Yeah,
it's starting to go without saying these days, really, isn't it? You know, we record on a Monday, you're going to be rough. That's how it works. But there we are. We do it because we love it. And if you love it too, a reminder that the best way to support the podcast is to buy something from alternativewales.com/shop, such as the most recent issue of Alternative Wales, issue 11. So please do that if you haven't already. It's very good. Right then, football, where do we begin? I think it probably has to be the South Wales Derby. Cardiff beat Swansea for the first time since 2021. The first time in front of a crowd since 2013. It's been four Swansea wins on the bounce. So for Cardiff fans, such as myself, it's been a long time coming. I had a lovely night. Whilst for Swansea fans, it seems like their bad start of the season just got a little bit worse. I was obviously at the game. And from a Cardiff perspective, it was bloody brilliant. One of the best nights I've had in the stadium watching Cardiff for a very, very long time. We've not had much to cheer about. Kaus, it's funny, you know, derbies, and you see the reaction on Twitter, and it's easy to say, you know, when you lose the derby, you sort of say, oh, you're obsessed about your rivals, you know, well done on winning your cup final, all that sort of stuff. It's the way football fans cope, I think. And I'm sure Swansea fans will agree with me on this as well. But beating your rivals is why we're all football fans, really, isn't it? You know, we don't all get to support teams who win trophies. So these are the sorts of days and nights that football fans live for, if I'm not being too dramatic.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I always laugh when I see... I sort of feel like 99% of football interactions on social media is one set of fans calling the other obsessed. It's just constant back and to, oh, you're obsessed with us. No, you're obsessed with us. It's just ridiculous. Of course you're going to celebrate beating your rivals. Swansea have had much the better of the derby in recent times prior to Saturday, and their fans were absolutely loving it, as they rightly should. Now it's Cardiff's turn to enjoy it. That's what football's all about. The atmosphere seemed fantastic there. I've seen the highlights. That's all I've seen, unfortunately. And, you know, it looks to me as if Cardiff thoroughly deserved it. Swansea sounded as if they were very, very poor. But yeah, fantastic. Absolutely love that you cannot beat a win over your rivals, and you've got to go out and enjoy it after. For Cardiff fans, it's been really tough, hasn't it, for a long, long time in the derby now. So yeah, enjoy it. I've got to say as well, Michael Duff didn't really help himself with his comments a couple of weeks ago, did he?
No.
You know, we were talking about this on the way to the Wrexham game, me and a few of the lads, and we were sort of debating about it. I can see exactly what he's saying, but, you know, in the lead up to a derby, it doesn't need to be said, does it? It's pretty obvious what he's saying. I think we'd all agree with the sentiment of it. But, you know, you've got to show fans going into a derby that at the end of the day, that game is huge, and you realise the magnitude of it. And he just didn't really need to say that, as obvious as what he said was.
Yeah, I mean, Errol Bullitt, the Cardiff manager, came back with the perfect, you know, when he was asked about it, he said, I want to win promotion and both derby games, which I thought was a very nice set. But yeah, it's one of those things, and it's a bit like the Page comments the other week about the friendly, just some things are just best left unsaid. We'll get on to Duff in a bit. I do also want to mention the atmosphere. You mentioned Kaus. The videos are great if you're a Cardiff fan or a neutral. Some great limbs, as the kids say. But that's twice in a week now I've been in disgustingly drunken ends. And you know what? For all that's said about drinking at football and being drunk and disorderly, being pissed up don't half help the atmosphere. Everyone was so like up for it. And people have sort of slagged off Swansea support and said they were quiet all game. I mean, I don't blame them because they would have been in the ground 3 hours before the game. They'd have all been shat. You know, they would have left Swansea like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon for a 7:45 kickoff.
Yeah.
And I've been in those away ends at Swansea, 12:30 kickoff, having to, leave at 7 a.m. for it, getting in the ground at 9:30. You're going to be knackered. You're not going to be asked about singing songs, but, and I think that helped Cardiff in a way was just how pissed everyone was. So, what football without cans is nothing or whatever the flag that someone had used to say. Good stuff. The game itself was pretty drab, really, especially the first half. It was a terrible advert for football in general, really. Cardiff had a good go in the second half, though, which led to the win after the introduction of Ollie Tanner, who seems to be Cardiff's... finally, Cardiff seemed to have found a gem from non-league, which has been very rare in the past. I'm not sure how good Cardiff actually are yet. We threatened a few times in previous games, of having a good performance but not getting the results. This was a very good... We managed the game really well, especially in the second half. But how good we are in terms of where Cardiff sit in the championship is yet to be seen. But obviously, I think we're definitely better than we were last season and the few seasons before. Swansea, on the other hand, seem to have fallen off a cliff a bit. There are a lot of reasons to be cheerful under Russell Martin, mainly style of play based. There was sort of some brief flirtations with the playoffs over the last couple of seasons. But then again, Martin hasn't exactly showed himself to be a fantastic manager since he's moved on. I wouldn't be surprised if he's out of work by Christmas at this rate. There's clearly been a drop-off from Swansea, and the knives are out for Michael Duff already. We're seven games in, I think. Six games, seven games, whatever we are in. Whether that's purely down to results or the style of play or both, because I know the style of play is very important to Swansea. Rod, should Swansea fans want to see the back of Duff already? And how concerning is that start of the season?
I always say you need at least 10 games. They sack your manager before 10 games. It's a bit daft because you're ripping up an entire summer's work then, aren't you? Or previous season's work or whatever. But I don't know. He doesn't seem to be playing the style of football the Swans want to play, the fans, and you know how important that is to the fans. And I think the players that were at the club before Duff are matched to the style of play that the Swans fans want to play. So I think I can't remember which journalist it was I saw tweeting about Matt Grimes just looks a shadow of the player under Duff. And it's just because of the style of play. So, maybe in a few games' time, they might just have to admit they've appointed the wrong guy, maybe, the way it's going. You don't want to leave it linger too long because you can quickly get cut adrift. If you're not winning a game in the first 10 games, that's, you need something miraculous like what Steve Cooper did at Forest, I think, to have any chance of turning it around. So I can understand why Swans fans will be pissed off, but yeah, I've always thought, at least 10 games, but, they're going to have to win very soon. Otherwise, it's curtains, I think, for Duff, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I think if he played a style of football that they liked, more of a passing possession based game, which sort of has become the Swansea way over the last, decade or two, then it would probably buy him time if people could see what he's trying to do. Even if they're not getting results, if you can sort of see that there's a process that they're trying to implement, then maybe it buys him time. But I think they've just, it's going to take some turnaround for him to win the fans back already, because I haven't really seen much from him And I don't really know if he's a likable bloke or not, you know?
I did watch his Barnsley side a few times last year. They were on Sky. And I think he was at Cheltenham before that.
Yeah, he got them promoted from League Two.
And they were very kind of front-footed teams. But, yeah, I don't think they were ever kind of past-the-death type of team. So you've got to question whether they've, you know, why they've appointed him if they want to continue like the... Like Russell Martin's like an extreme version of the passing game. Like he's, you can see Southampton's last couple of results are shambles because he's so committed to that plan of building from the back. And, you know, Swans fans were patient with him because they could see that's how he wanted to do things and they were willing to, you know, stick it through. And it kind of did work to a certain extent. But yeah, I don't know. Just, yeah. It's not looking good for them, and it's not looking good for Duff. So,
I'm conscious to not talk about Cardiff too much and get a little bit giddy for any of our Swans listeners. I'll leave that to the View from the Indian boys who put a lovely, jubilant, giddy podcast out earlier. So it's worth a listen. But Kaus, obviously, we were just speaking before the pod about Duff, and you know, I was saying that. I've seen a few Swansea fans suggesting Graham Potter could come back, which I think might be a bit pie in the sky based on his previous jobs. But Luke Williams has been mentioned, who's the manager of Notts County. Obviously, you've seen Notts County a lot. And we were saying how probably it's quite a good fit and probably would have made more sense than Michael Duff. And maybe that's the kind of person Swansea should go in for, just to sort of make Swansea fans feel better that it might not all be lost.
Yeah, no, they should definitely go for him. I don't really, you know, I don't really care about anything else other than that would really benefit Wrexham. So, so yeah. No, I think Luke Williams is a brilliant manager. Like his teams play outstanding football, entertaining football. He plays the Swansea way. He would be a perfect fit for them. I was just thinking now, what I've got to say, and this is no disrespect to Swansea. I hope you know where I'm coming from with this, but he might look at it. And let's say, you know, let's say Duff gets another 5-6 games, as he should, by the way. Rods is absolutely right. You can't sack a manager before the 10th game. That's just, you know, I think even 10 games isn't long enough. But, you know, I know that the price of going down to League One, they'll be very, very wary of that. And they'll know, you know, that the more Swansea struggle, the more dissenting voices will arrive. So, but that said, Luke Williams might look at it and go, well, Notts County are a team on the up. There's a very good chance they get promotion this year. Swansea possibly on the slide unless they, you know, sort of get the rest of slump. He might look at it and go, well, what's the point in going to a team that'll be in the same league next year? So, you know, that's a difficult one as well. But yeah, certainly if you're looking for a manager and, you know, he's been at Swansea City as well, it's a perfect fit, isn't it? But, you know, as I say, it's early days. Michael, he deserves a bit of time. He's been successful elsewhere. There's no reason why he can't be successful at Swansea. But, I mean, the signs are not good. I think sometimes, you know, I think he's the sort of manager. I'm not entirely sure what his style of play is. It certainly isn't the Swansea way, as people coined that phrase. It isn't the Swansea way. But, yeah, like I say, give the guy a bit of time. I think he's got 5 more games. He needs to pick up a couple of wins in those 5 games, I think, for me. But yeah, as I say, with all the Welsh clubs, I hope he turns it around because I want to see the Welsh clubs do well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the acid test when it comes to sort of managers and when to sort of pull the plug tends to be that October international break. I think the games come quite thick and fast between now and then. I think there's a midweek. By the time you're listening, Cardiff would have played Coventry and Swansea would have played QPR. So ideal game for Swansea to bounce back. QPR not had a great start either. You know, he needs that first win if he wants any chance, probably in the next 2 games, because, you know, the losing in the derby has been the beginning of the end for a lot of Cardiff managers. I think all 4 of those defeats in a row have been under different managers for Cardiff, which says
I was just going to say, like, derby wins and losses, they can almost break, make or break you, can't you? You know, Swansea have had a poor start. But all of a sudden, if they'd have beaten Cardiff on Saturday, everything's rosy in the world. Yeah. That's how big that game is. So,
absolutely.
You know, like I say, it can turn on stuff like that. That just adds, like, the pressure tenfold now, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the dissent's there already now, isn't it, from the fans. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. And just a big shout out for Aaron Ramsey, because, you know, you how many times have you seen a player go back, you know, at the end of their career to somewhere, and it's just a bit of a busted flush, but he is absolutely thriving and he's just loving it. I think we're going to get the best out of him for Wales going forward. You know, he scored two of the same penalty this week. Just the coolest man.
Brilliant.
In the world.
You've got to have some balls on you in a derby game. I know, yeah. I know you're 1-0 up and things like that, but in a derby game to go with a
roll
penalty
like
middle.
That, yeah,
it's absolutely incredible, and it just shows the confidence and quality he's got, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, there was parts of the game I said to my dad, I was like, when we were watching it, I said, he's too good for the rest of the team. Sometimes he was playing passes that people didn't have the ability to sort of know where to be. You know, I mean, like a few years ago, he was playing those passes to Cristiano Ronaldo. Now he's playing them to, like, Ike Ugbo, who definitely isn't on,
Having a player like Ramsey, if you can keep him fit, is the exact reason Cardiff won't be in any relegation trouble this year. Just having that one real quality standout player can make such a difference in the Championship.
Yeah.
Remember Leeds had Pablo Hernandez a few years ago. And then you've got other examples like that Hamer, who played for who did he play for last year?
Coventry,
yeah. That's it. yeah, players like that, and they can make
Adel Terapt.
Yeah. That chair for QPR, he's another example.
Yeah,
he's carrying that team, isn't he? So
yeah. It's like a good chair would carry that team.
I should have done a pun there, but chairs don't carry our shit. I missed the opportunity there.
But yeah, I mean, it's just a pleasure to watch, especially as a Cardiff fan and a Wales fan. It is just, he's just a pleasure. I love him to bits, and I'm glad that it's going to plan. You know, he's played in every game so far. He scored 3 goals. He won Championship Goal of the Month. He scored for Wales. Only inevitable now that he's probably going to have a serious injury in a couple of weeks. But there we are.
When are Cardiff playing Stoke?
not I think next month, so that should be an interesting one.
Just give him a rest there.
Yeah, exactly. We have had a bit of correspondence from Swansea fans, actually. Smarty said, Swansea fan in need of a new Welsh team help. There's plenty of teams in the Cymru Leagues who would love your support. What else do we have? We had Phil saying, can we just have absolutely no mention of any Championship games that took place this weekend, please? Just the Cymru League. Sorry, Phil, I only saw your tweet afterwards. Otherwise... I'd have happily obliged.
Yeah, I was going to say, you definitely wouldn't have spoken anything about it.
No. And also, sort of going on what you mentioned earlier, South Wales Red said Wrexham is Swansea League One fixture next year. Let's not get ahead of ourselves yet. Both teams have got a long way to go. But that would be some turn up for the books.
Oh, only the 40 games ago.
So exactly. and probably at least, you know, that's another manager. Maybe 2 for Swansea if they're going to be influenced by Cardiff on that. But yeah, on to Wrexham, Kaus. You know, compared to Swansea, it's very much going in the opposite direction. You know, Wrexham seem to have ironed out any of the issues that caused some sort of poor results at the start of the season, and are gathering up a bit of a head of steam. I saw your tweets about how good Wrexham are, and maybe the best team you've ever seen. As a Wrexham fan, not ever. I'm not saying they're
better than Brazil, like you said.
I'm sure you don't want to get carried away, but are we seeing what Wrexham are capable of now? And are they going to get better, and are they going to be able to keep it up, and you know, stay in that playoff picture and maybe even the automatic picture?
Yeah, I've said it all along. Even after the first couple of games where we didn't particularly play well, The MK Dons game, for me, I mean, if we play MK Dons now, I think it's a different game and a different result. I genuinely believe that. I think the pre-season didn't help at all. We went in really, really, really weak. And as Ben Foster admitted himself, he wasn't up to it. Mark Howard's come into the side and he's like a different guy from last year. I was quite critical of Mark Howard last year. He made a lot of mistakes, but he's been absolutely flawless since coming in, to the point where the young lad who's on loan from Arsenal, Okonkwo, can't get a game. And he's really, really highly rated. So, you know, he was, I think, one of the players of the season for MK Dons last year in League One. So, that's credit to Mark Howard for that. Honestly, on Saturday, it was like watching, you know, teams from 2 divisions apart. And Grimsby aren't a bad side. You know, they're a mid-table sort of League Two. But they I think they had one shot on goal. Wrexham could have won 6 or 7 nil. I'm not even exaggerating. Just so dominant. James McLean, absolutely awesome. Ryan Barnett was awesome. Will Boyle, Ben Tozer, Aaron Hayden. It's going so well at the moment, but it's a really tough game coming up this Saturday, Stockport away. That'll be a real test for us.
Yeah.
So yeah, if we can get, I'd take a draw there, I think. But I mean, the way we're playing, there's no reason why we can't go there and win the game. So, so yeah, really, really positive, really confident at the moment. And yeah, I'm going to stick with my preseason. I think I said sort of on the fringes of automatic. I think I said at the time, I'm going to stick with that, I think. But there are some really good sides in League Two. So, yeah, certainly not getting carried away. And I hope for the sake of Welsh football that Wrexham Swansea isn't a League One fixture. I want to see the Swans stay up in the Championship. So, yeah, it's going really well. Long may it continue, right?
Yeah, I mean, looking at the table now, and Stockport obviously were very highly rated at the start of the season, probably favourites of the league after Notts County and Wrexham. They have obviously haven't had a great start because they're in 13th, but they have 1-2 on the bounce and a sort of gathering steam. So it probably is a good marker for Wrexham, you know, as to how good they actually are. You know, I'm looking at the other teams up top. Obviously, Notts County have really started, hitting the ground now. Who knows? May not have a Luke Williams in charge all season. I'm sure if Swansea don't go for him, I think someone else, he'll be atop of a lot of lists, won't he? Swindon Town are there as well. I mean, Gillingham are top of the league, right? I'm just looking at they've scored 7 and conceded 6. Meanwhile, Wrexham have scored 20 and conceded 15. And Swindon have scored 22 and conceded 11. What the that's Neil Harris is in charge there. What's going on there?
Yeah. Yeah, it's nuts, isn't it? Yeah, they're 1-0 specialist Gillingham, but they I think they lost 3-0 at home to someone as well, which is a weird result. So honestly, I've got to say that the standard of League Two has pleasantly surprised me. It's been really, really tough. And, you know, there's some really good sides in there. But yeah, Saturday was probably the performance of the season for Wrexham. So hopefully we can keep that going. Like you said, when you started talking about Wrexham there, you know, feels like they're getting into their groove now. 100%. Wrexham are getting better every single game. So if we can carry on improving, I mean, we've got guys like Owen O'Connell who can't get a game. He's a, you know, Championship League One standard centre half, and he can't get a game. It's incredible. And someone posted our like B team, and I was thinking that would be a strong League Two side in itself. So yeah, it's absolutely incredible at the moment. I'm just really enjoying it. I upset Andy Morrell on Saturday though. Shameless name drop there, but I'd said that this was better than the side that won promotion 20 years ago when Morrell scored 30 odd goals. He wasn't too pleased with that, but he could see where I was going with it. So yeah, if we can emulate that side, I'll be happy, right?
Absolutely. Newport's good start seems to have stalled a bit recently, but I'm sure their fans will have no complaints about being in 12th in the league at this point. Relegation worries are very much not on the picture for now. I also think there's some talk of investment at Newport, so it's something we'll keep an eye on, and maybe we'll get one of the 1912 Exiles lads on in a few weeks to update us on that. Merthyr did lose their first game of the season, I think the week before last, while we were on international duty, to fellow High Flyers Chesham. I think it was Chesham. Maybe I've just made that up. But whoever it was, I'm going to have to check that, because that's shit if I've just made that up.
Yeah, no, it was Chesham.
It was Chesham. Good. Completely didn't back myself then.
They're top of the league, though, Chesham, aren't they?
Yeah, they both went into the game unbeaten. So, I'm sure Merthyr fans won't be too upset.
Good result in the FA Cup as well. Were you coming on to that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Ricardo Rees, I think it was really late on, wasn't it, against Taunton, who I think are a league above them, maybe even two leagues above them. So a really good result for them. They play in a replay tomorrow night while recording, so you'll know by the time you listen, et cetera, whether they've got through. So best of luck to Merthyr. If Merthyr can get to the first round of the Cup again and play Wrexham at Penydarren Park, I think that would be the best day out in Welsh football, possibly ever, Welsh club football.
Definitely.
I'd love that.
Yeah, BBC.
17 pints on a Chips and sausage and curry sauce cob sounds like the perfect day out to me.
The BBC would still put Cricklington against Bedfordwith on their tie instead.
Yeah, what was the game on? I think it was Tadcaster played Chester, didn't they? That small team. Yeah, exactly. In the Cymru Premier, we've had a good old chunk of football played since the last time we spoke about it. Maybe even three, four, even five games. Caws, the league is slowly starting to take shape. We're sort of seeing who the runners and the riders are and where everyone's going to be, fighting for. Anything standing out to you based on the table at the moment?
Well, I mean, I feel pretty sure, I can't remember exactly what I predicted, but I'm pretty sure I said Barry and Abbott to go down. And, you know, that's looking like it's a solid prediction at the moment. Unfortunately, two big clubs. We don't like to see the big clubs struggle, but, you know, that is the case at the moment. Surprised with Pontypridd. I mean, I didn't tip them to be very high anyway. But people told me, oh, you know, you're wrong. They've invested heavily. They're a good side. But they're not really pulling up any trees at the moment. Well, you know, you sort of look at, you know, Haverford West as well. Big surprise. I think we tipped them to be. It's still very early days. But as you say, with the Cymru Prem, I always feel like you don't see massive changes. After, say, game 10, the league is taking shape and you don't see a team absolutely flying up or dropping right down. You tend to have a bit of structure after 10 games. So, yeah, the only team that often starts poorly and climbs the table is Newtown. And, you know, they're probably that maybe that's the start of something for them now. But Penabont as well has been a bit of a mixed bag. But, I mean, great result against the Cobbies. Yeah. The Cobbies probably surprising everyone so far this year. And, yeah, just wanted to give a shout out as well to, you know, Ryan Austin. What a, you know, really good lad who I know quite well. And he's had lots of trouble with injuries in recent years. And hopefully he's back soon.
Yeah, I mean, on Penabont, obviously got a vested interest in it. Important win that was because, you know, drawing 0-0 to Cardiff Met and Ponty isn't the end of the world, especially to Ponty. They've drawn 0-0 three times already this season. And none of their games have had both teams scoring. So not entertainment specialists. And then you lose to Bala, who have been a lot better than any of us thought they would be, considering how many players, their turnover of players this summer. And then, you know, that isn't a bad run of games if you go and beat Colwyn Bay at home, which you should be, you know, a team getting promoted. And then you Penabont didn't, which, you know, they had a lot of chances. It was a great result for Colwyn Bay, you know, a historic result for them. But yeah, important to sort of stop that rot and keeping it, you know, because you say in Couch, you know, after 10 games that it's quite easy to sort of see where the table is because everyone's played each other once almost at that point. And I think because of the way the league is, if you have a slow start, it's hard to recover. And all of a sudden you find yourself in, you know, the bottom half at the split and, you know, there's a ceiling put in place there. And that's sometimes why we see the team in seventh do so well. You know, I could see a Ponty or Haverford West having a better second phase and getting that seventh spot and maybe even getting to Europe again. But yeah, it feels like a stronger league. Connors Key are really good. Bala, I mean, you know, they still haven't lost this season. They drew 0-0 to TNS. They've drawn maybe one too many games to start thinking about a title race. But yeah, they just seem to have
big opportunity missed against TNS.
Yeah. Right, yeah, and I just think they've just nailed that transition better than I thought anyone thought they would. You know, losing the players that they did, you know, bringing in a lot of, they're just always good. And Caton's just obviously a very good manager and knows when to move players on. And so, yeah, it's going to be an intriguing season as it all plays out because I do think, you know, there's a few teams who maybe are better than their position suggests. But I do think that top four, TNS, Connors Key, Bala, Penabont, I think we're going to see that pull away maybe in the next few weeks. As good as Carnarvon and Met are, I think those four are a step above them. And yeah, I do fear for especially Aberystwyth and Barry now. Seven games for both of them, no wins between them. So yeah, a long way to go there. But you know, we are starting to see how it's all going to go. It was also the Welsh Cup first round on the weekend. Any standout results, House?
Yeah, I'm not sure. There's no real shock. Well, I say that there was one shock, wasn't there, with Real losing to Menai Bridge on penalties. That was a bit of a shock. Real struggling a little bit the last couple of games, so that's going to be interesting. Flint Mountain, you know, they're a really good side. Rob Hughes from Carnarvon's just joined them.
They got Mike Hayes as well, haven't they?
Yeah, I think that probably it's going to be really tough for Rill this year in the league, in that tier three. I think most people had Flint Mountain and Rill as even favourites there, but no, I certainly think Flint Mountain are going to be strong favourites now. But yeah, in terms of the cup results on Saturday, nothing that really, really springs out. Llanuwchllyn winning 10-2 away at Tregaron Turfs. I mean, how the hell is that a regional draw? I don't know. But yeah. You know, fair play to them. That's a good result away. I love the Welsh Cup. Absolutely love it. Especially these early games. I mean, there was a good, really good crowd. I was getting to miss it, actually. I used to live in Ceredigion for a while, and they played Denbigh on Saturday, and that was an entertaining game. Denbigh won 4-2. But yeah, great to see a good crowd from Denbigh go up there. And, you know, I just love to see these so-called smaller clubs getting a good crowd, bringing a few quid. And just I think the fan culture is always improving. And that's what I like to see.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And I think, what was I going to say? Yeah, the draw is on Wednesday now, and everyone's in. You know, the rest of the Cymru North and South and the Cymru Premier are in, and that's when it really gets fun, because you do get some real interested ties there. You know, having Cymru Premier sides having to go to some far flung places, although I think round two is still regionalised. I think so. Yeah, we'll see how that all goes. We did have a question from the Cymru Premier Enjoyer on Twitter, which is a great name. You know, does what it says on the tin. He said that, you know, who would be our dream final, and where would it be held? Rod, any thoughts on who your dream Welsh Cup final and where it would be held?
A dream, like an absolutely, like, nonsensical dream.
You can sort of use.
That's why we came to you first, Rod.
I thought you'd have an interesting answer for this one.
Well, obviously, Llandovery would make it, wouldn't they? And I'd be back playing. on television.
Captain.
Yeah. Llandovery, I don't know, against TNS, and Llandovery win 5-0.
Where?
Nice goal, 5. If we're being totally fantastical. But yeah, if I'm being serious.
Millennium Stadium?
No, what did Gauss call it before?
The Dome of Doom. Yeah.
Where would I play it? Why not? And pack it out, 74,000 in the Dome of Doom.
Chanting, Rodri, Rodri, Rodri.
But in all seriousness,
slugs.
If you had like a couple of second tier teams in the final, that'd be a brilliant occasion, I think. And massive crowd for that game, whoever it may be, anyone but TNS, really. So
I think that is a dream scenario. Kaus, what about you? What would you like to see as this year's Welsh Cup final?
I'd probably go. Llansan are out already, unfortunately. So I'd probably go. Maybe Denbigh Town against Rhythun. being played somewhere in the middle, like Llangynhafal or somewhere like that, right in the middle.
Well, I've always said about building a 50,000 seater in Llanidloes as just sort of like a center point for everyone in Wales. So maybe we can get that built and host the Welsh Cup final there.
Yeah, fantastic. That'd be brilliant.
Denbigh, this is Penobot, me good, Kaus, me and you can have a fight on the pitch pre-match.
That'd be fantastic. Have a couple of Fanta chasers before the game.
Maybe we have like a boxing match, you know, like those influencer boxing matches on the pitch before whoever wins gets a goal head start in the final. Maybe I think that might be a nice way to do things.
I tell you what, you would take that so seriously as well. You'd be in training now, wouldn't you?
I couldn't lose that.
Ryan Paul against KSI Kaus.
Oh god, if my name is Ryan Paul, I'd be such a different man. I'm so glad I'm not called
be
Ryan
Australian Paul. With a name like that.
As they say, never trust a man with two first names.
No.
Yeah, you know who you are out there.
My name is three surnames.
Yeah, so, yeah. Thomas Wynn Lewis.
Wynn Lewis. Yeah, stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, in all seriousness, I think like a lovely scenario would be Penrith versus Colwyn Bay, playing in the Cardiff City Stadium, as it should be every year, and get 5,000 plus through the door. Bit of noise. Biggest team in South Wales, according to me, and the best supported team in all of Wales. You know, put on a show. Why not? Rod, we've got time for
just stop you there. It's a shame we haven't got a ground like, you know, like a sort of 7 or 8,000 seater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess absolutely. Parker Scarlett is that, but it's in Llanelli, which is just sort of completely, and it's just in a really bad, it's not even in like, you know, it's a horrible place to get to. But otherwise, it would be perfect.
It's such a shame. Somewhere central. With that holds about, you know, even if it held like 5,000 somewhere central, that would be fantastic, wouldn't it, for the Wales Cup final? It'd be a so much different event, but sadly we just haven't got anywhere, have we?
And I doubt they would, although they did play the women's, I think it was the women's cup final there last year. But Penydarren Park would be a great host for a Welsh Cup final.
Yeah, that would be a great
because you could get a decent crowd in, and obviously we all know what the atmosphere is like there when it's busy. But yeah, Rod, your Cymru Leeds corner. Ampadu impressed yesterday. Dan James with a few assists. All round lovely stuff.
Yeah, very good. Ampadu's one player of the month as well.
Nice.
Seen a lot of Leeds fans saying he's the best midfielder in the championship already. So, but I'm not sure some Cardiff fans won't agree with that. But yeah, he's a cut above. I think he's one of those players that hasn't quite cut it in the Prem, but he's too good for the championship, and you can tell. And yeah, just very good purchase, really. And Dan James, nice to see him get two assists, even though they were both a bit shonky. But, you know, he came off the bench and when the game opened up, and he that's what he can do. And yeah, brilliant. And Joe Rodon, again, playing really well. So,
yeah,
very, very good stuff from the Welsh boys.
Yeah, I feel like it's three players at Leeds that I really want to come good that would be really important for us. So it's good that they are.
It's very promising early signs anyway.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
and I put Leeds down to win the league in my predictions. So
that may be a bit that may be a bit silly, but there's Leeds have always got some sort of catastrophe not far away. So
not to rub it in, but Piro's hit the ground running as well. So I'm sure Swansea fans will be even worse for them.
Apologise to my Swans mates for that.
Yeah,
they're clearly missing him, are they?
Yeah, absolutely. Also, a big shout out to Abertown Women, who stormed to the top of the league with a 3-0 win over Barry on the weekend. Wrexham and Swansea played out a superb advert for the league of the 3-3 draw on Adran Premier opening day. We've also got the Wales Women in action over the next week. Iceland away on Friday, which would just have been a lovely trip if I had unlimited cash and days off. A home game then next week with Denmark. So we'll catch up on those games next week. Right then, that's plenty covered. We could be here all night if we're going to really take a dive in. But we've got your questions, our game, and of course, Adrian Phillips still to come. So you can hear that now. Adrian Phillips, are you there?
Loud and clear.
Good. Loud and clear as always. What have you got for us this week?
As you know, we played Carmarthen flat at United last weekend.
Yeah.
Didn't finish the game.
Oh, God. Why?
So we were 3-0 up. New signing Clayton Rince. Got a hat-trick early done.
Clayton Rince.
Not to be confused with Clayton Ince, the old goalkeeper in the lower leagues. Clayton Rince. He's got a hat trick.
Rince, then, did he?
Unfortunately, he did. But then, unfortunately, after about half an hour, an exploded World War II bomb went off in one half of the pitch. So
How many casualties?
Four.
Fuck it.
Glanmore Dosk has lost his leg.
Oh, right.
Trevor Enchanti has got shrapnel injuries. Star striker Trezor Gamble is blind in one eye.
Yeah, no. What awful is that?
Yeah, which is strange because he doesn't even usually go into his own half. But yeah, the bomb went off about half hour into the game.
But I didn't realise Carmarthen was bombed during the war.
No, there was that doing over the car.
No, they were probably hiding it or something. I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe I'm not saying they weren't sympathising with the other team, or something, but maybe they were. I don't know why there was a bomb there, but it went off and wrecked the pitch.
You know.
What I will say is their pitch isn't flat anymore. There's a hell of a hole in it.
A big crater.
Yeah, so I have to have dispensation from the United Churches League to abandon next weekend's game already.
Right.
Understandable. Because, understandable.
Well, they did send me an email asking they'd help with funeral costs. We haven't, no one's died. Like.
Yeah.
So no one died then? Just some sort of life-changing injuries?
Yeah, horrific life-changing injuries.
Yeah, you'll have to get Ken Cow back.
No, well, he's in jail, I think. Or yeah. No, actually, I don't know where he is. I think he's practicing medicine in Nicaragua or something. Don't need a certificate over there. But yeah, so we were 3-0 up. I don't know if the league is going to let that stand because... For a change, it's not my fault a bomb went off on the ground.
Yeah.
So... I suppose flat Earth is I'm going to have to call their home fixtures up for a while now. The bitch is fucked.
Yeah, no one will lend them a ground either because they're not the most popular people in the world.
No.
How come none of their players were injured, Phillips? Why was it just yours?
Well, they may have done. I wasn't interested in their team.
Oh, right.
Maybe that email was for the wrong person.
Yeah.
Well, there we are. Anything else?
Yeah, so, no, not really. I'm going to have to sign fucking three players now because one's blind, one's lost a leg, and one's full of metal.
Yeah.
Fuck, you know.
Fuck.
Yeah. Right.
That was a cheerful.
Do you know what? It's about time you had a bit of luck, you know, Phillips.
Yeah. Thank you, mate. At least someone's back in my corner here.
Yeah.
Every
other week there's a death or a serious injury.
Yeah. It's more far-fetched than fucking Dream Team. Hatches United.
The thing is, though, good news for me today.
All right, go on.
Well, that's the main thing.
Yeah.
Fuck your players. Yeah.
They've lowered the speed limit, so now I'm not going to get beeped at from going too slow anymore, man.
Yeah.
The old Bedford Rascals struggles to get over 25.
It's only got two gears, isn't it?
Yeah. I did ask Star Striker Andrew Smowlin for a comment, but he is busy taking pictures of other people.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, I know. I'm not going to ask. I think he works for the Daily Sport. I'm not sure.
I think he's a headline writer for the Daily Sport.
Yeah. He's busy if he takes all the pictures, isn't he? But yeah, I might have a comment off him next week, but maybe I'll release him in the week because he's doing my head in.
Yeah. To summarise then.
Yeah.
Three players with serious life-changing injuries because a bomb went off on the pitch.
Correct.
Whilst you were playing Carmarthen, Flat Earth United, a World War II bomb, despite Carmarthen never being bombed during the war. Andrew Smowlin, comment next week. Your game has been pulled off next week. I hope it's a fucking long comment.
Well, I don't know. It's not been confirmed yet, so we might end up playing, but I don't know who we're going to play. I can't remember. I'm still in shock, man.
Shell shock.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, no, it's like to be in World War II, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, so sorry I can't provide much more. I've been shaking all day.
Yeah.
Oh, well, another quiet week in the world of Phillips.
Oh, do you know what? I hope we do play next week. I mean, just nil, draw, nil, nil. I just go home
and no one gets hurt.
I don't know about that.
And you just come on, you say we drew 0-0, no one got hurt, no one got arrested, and then you leave.
You've written this for me, haven't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. Very, very unlikely that is.
Hey, it'd be no point me doing this if it wasn't entertaining.
Nope. Entertaining is a word that could be used to describe this.
I hope no one's fucking saying this is fabricated, or else I'll have them. Yeah. This is all true. Come on, I'm flat earthy. I did at a real club.
Yeah.
More news next week, probably, when I've recovered from shell shock.
Great. All the best in your recovery.
Thank you. I need it.
Yeah.
You're going to wish all of... What? me, mate.
Yeah. Go on, then. Are you going to go now or what?
Oh, you want to go, do you? So good luck to the boys in their rehab. Glamour Dosk with one leg. And all that. Yeah,
Trevor sent douche with a shrapnel.
You're rambling on now.
Yeah,
I better go.
Get in your van and go.
Put the foot down on the van, Phillips, and get out of here.
Yeah, try boys.
Off you go.
Welcome back to part two of the pod. We'll start with our game. I've gone with hopefully an easier one this week. Maybe. We did Gary Speed's first game last week, so we're going to do his successor's final game. So it's Chris Coleman's final game in charge of Wales, which was... anyone even know what the game was?
France. Away? No.
Ooh, was it... It wasn't the Ireland game, was it? No.
No, it was Wales 1, Panama 1, which I'm sure...
Christ,
now
easier,
you, you couldn't even remember it.
Christ, no.
That's not a good sign. You made me double check, actually, Rod, about France. I don't know if France, because it was the same international break, and now I'm worried that it was after.
How many? There's a question for you. How many friendlies did we actually have under Coleman? We can't have had many.
Okay, few. France was 4 days before. Right, good. Okay, Christ. Good. Right. Let's continue. I should really do fact checking. That's three times tonight now I've had to check. as I've said it. So there we are. Right, what can I flip? What have I got here? What have I got?
Just yourself?
Yeah, I could flip myself. That wouldn't turn out very well.
Fucking jump in the air like a salmon.
Right, I've got a watch. One of my girlfriend's watches. One of us, if she's got loads, I don't even know if she's got more than one. Right, we're doing clock face or the back of the clock. Rod, you won last week. What do you want?
You misses the timekeeper armful of watches. What were the options? Smashed watch or non-smashed watch?
No, clock face or no clock face.
Clock face, and it's gonna smash.
Okay, it's on the bed, so we're all good. Oh, it was the back of the clock. Kaus, would you like to go first or second for Wales 1, Panama 1?
Yeah. I just want to say we should start a no context alternative Wales account. We just got Ryan going, ooh, it's the back of the clock. I'll go first. Yeah.
All right then. Well, you didn't get any right last time. I did choose a stinker. Recent history, but obviously not a popular game. Yeah, I mean, you both forgot the game existed. So, how are you going to start, Kaus? Where are you going?
I'm going to have to start with because I've forgotten about this game. I don't remember it at all. Hennessy.
Nope.
Oh, for fuck's sake. The guy who played every game near enough under fucking Coleman didn't play. Come on.
It was
on.
A friendly. Oh, this has really left the door open for Rods now.
Fuck's sake.
Are you going to go for the tap-in, Rod, or are you going to try and make it harder for yourself?
Go for the tap-in. No mercy, mate. No mercy. Go for
Gunter.
Yes, correct. He was captain
for fuck's
as well.
Sake.
There was probably two stalwarts you could have gone for, Kaus, and you went for the wrong one.
Ah, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Well,
that was fun. What a game. Really good. Really good.
Good stuff, yeah.
really deep. But yeah, the full lineup was Danny Ward in goal. James Chester, Chris Gunter, Ethan Ampadu, Ben Davis, Neil Taylor, David Brooks, David Edwards, Tom Lawrence, Sam Vokes, and Ben Woodburn. So, and then on
was
the
it,
bench.
Was it, I was Go just going to say 2017, it would have been, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. So it was just as Coleman was bringing in a few of the younger lads. Because there's that photo of him. I think he brought on Woodburn, Ampadu, and Brooks all at the same time in Stade de France, didn't he? And there's like a photo.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. On the bench was Hennessy, Chris Maxwell, Tom Lockyer, Ashley Williams, Joe Allen, Andrew Crofts, didn't know he was still knocking around then, Lee Evans, Andy King, Joe Ledley, Marley Watkins, Ryan Hedges, and Tom Bradshaw. So there we are. Didn't have to go deep tonight on that game. Kaus clearly wants to wrap this up quickly then.
I want to I want to retire this game. I've had enough of it. I think that's like 6. It's probably like 7-1 or 6-1.
Yeah, I do need to go back like and and have a look. Rod is wiping the floor with you, but you are making it quite easy for him. Right, let's do some questions. The Podfather's question up first. He says, who do you think will win the Golden Boot in the Cymru Prem this season? Is it going to be Declan McManus, Kaus?
Yeah, I can't really see anyone else. Jordan Davis, I believe, has got a few goals for Nomads, hasn't he, so far?
Chris Venables on 6.
Venables, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Venables is always going to be there or thereabouts. Yeah. You know what you're getting from him. He's an absolute out-and-out goal scorer. And, you know, it doesn't matter how old he is. Is he 37, 38? He keeps himself so slim and fit. You know, he's always going to get your goals. But yeah, I can't really perhaps see beyond them two. And Jordan Davis is more of a, I'd say he's more of a winger anyway, but you know, he does get your goals. Can't really argue with that. Them two, they'll be there up there again. Push gun to the head, I'll go Declan McManus, I think.
Rod, any thoughts? Past or present?
Kane McLagan's going to score 100 goals after Christmas. No, it'll be McManus, won't it? TNS will win the league, and
everyone will be happy. Mike Harris will sleep well at night.
You just enjoy the rest of the division, but it's just that, yeah.
I was just looking now, actually.
Would be a shout for Venables, though, like you said. He's already banged a few in, so yeah.
I don't think McManus has scored this season.
Yeah.
Oh, he scored twice. So currently, Jordan Davis 6. Aaron Williams 6 at Newtown. Venables 4. Shishlovich. So why can't I say it? I listen to his name every week. 4. Clark at Carnarvon's got 4. Adam Davis at Carnarvon's got 4. Brobble got 3 on the weekend in one go. So yeah. McManus got a bit of ground to make up all of a sudden. But who knows? I'm sure like 4 of the top 5 will be TNS players. That tends to be how it goes, unfortunately. Right, Paul Burns has asked, asking for a friend. One of your kids leaves to go to university. Is it okay to turn their room into a reading room? Big shout out to my mum, who gave my room to my sister within a week of me leaving university. I'm sure she still regrets that, as I make my feelings known on a regular basis. Love you, mum. Rod, what do you reckon?
Do you need a room for reading? I don't know.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
This could be something more sinister. Like, reading room sounds like an excuse for. It's gonna read my book up in the reading room. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, do whatever the fuck you want, I say.
You pay the mortgage, why not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I remember when I left home, my sister had my room as well. I can sympathise with you on that one. But yeah, if Paul's listening, well, he's obviously listening because he's asked the question. turn it into a second kitchen, you know, anything.
Smoking room. Just go
smoking room,
bags
some sort of fucking war room. Go for like fucking doomsday scenario, get some fucking corned beef and then prepare for the end. Like, yeah.
Get in touch with our mate Mike Buckner, who still hasn't.
Still gone missing,
still hasn't come back from the ice wall. Kaus, any further thoughts on that?
Get a snooker table in there.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Get a snooker table in there. Fantastic.
Yeah. Worst case scenario, Paul, if she's upset, just, well, I say she, I don't know if she's one of your kids. Could be a boy.
Yeah.
They.
If she's upset, just let her break.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, maybe get a caravan and, you know, let her stay in the garden.
Every woman, every man.
Liam Geraghty said, what are you having or had for tea tonight? Rod, what's on the menu tonight?
Don't know. Need to go to the shop, to be honest with you. The fridge is looking very bare. Don't know. Something on toast, probably. Exciting.
Good. Something on toast. Kaus, what about you?
I haven't had anything just yet. I'm going to head out and, yeah, same as Rod's, and nip to the shop in a bit and find something. It'd probably be in true caravan dweller style, be something microwavable, I'd imagine.
Nice.
I just got to say as well, Liam, good friend of mine, and he asked me on Saturday, he wants to earn the title of friend of the pod. So,
I saw Liam out in where the hell was the last Wales? Last
Riga.
Year. Yeah. Well, saw him out there, said hello to him, and I've seen him on a couple of Wales away now. So,
well, until I meet him and he introduces himself to me.
Like
he can't be friend of the pod. He's friend of you two, by all means.
Yeah, my mate, Liam. Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, Liam.
Sorry about that, Liam. It's hard to get it past Ryan Hitler there.
But, Chairman March, once again.
Chairman March, yeah.
But Liam, I cooked myself some beef noodles earlier. I did not like fucking pot noodle. I don't do any of that shite.
You've bloody changed since you've been to London. Bloody London boy, yeah.
I've never had a pot noodle, and I never will. But yeah, just a basic, simple stir fry, and I'm going to enjoy it very shortly.
Look at me with my stir fry. Too good for pot noodles.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there we are. And finally, of course, it is Boosh. Here he is. Right, here we go. This is a all-timer from Boosh, question-wise. Strap yourselves in. I say love me, hold me, love me, hold me. Because I'm free to do what I want any old time, and I'm free to be who I choose any old time. Raved hipsters, the soup dragons. Tally and I have been having a debate. Do you eat or drink soup? And what's your favourite soup? I like chicken. I mean, in a series of terrible questions, from Boosh, this is a new low, I think. This is the bottom of the soup barrel. But, you know, the question's been asked and the question needs to be answered. Kaus, do you eat or drink soup, and what's your favourite soup?
Right. Well, I don't know how to interpret the question. I'm just going to start by saying, though, it's about time that he's actually done the lyrics to a song I've heard of.
Yeah,
I've never usually heard it. He does these songs. I'm thinking, is he making these band names up? They're just like from left field. But that's a cracking song as well, by the way. I love that song. But yeah, is the question like, because you've thrown me now the way you worded it. You sort of said, do you eat or drink soup?
I think what he's saying is in like,
how do you eat your soup?
I think, you know, if you were to say, I'm gonna eat some soup tonight, or do you say, I'm gonna drink some soup tonight? I'd eat soup. I would.
Yeah, of course you'd eat. Like, you can't drink anything with like massive chunks in it, can you?
Well, it depends if you have like a cream of tomato soup from a tin. That's pretty smooth. You could drink that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
throw some vodka in it.
I would never drink it. I think that's minion. You don't drink.
Yeah.
Soup.
No, I'm with you.
Eat
there.
It. No, I like soup, but I never spoon it. I'll just get like half a loaf of bread with loads of butter on it, and because I hate it at weddings, because the soup is often really, really nice, but they'll give you like one little tiny crusty sort of roll, and you're like, no, give us seven of them, you know.
Yeah.
But I like a bit of soup. I do like a bit of soup. In fact, you know, going on to Liam's question, I think I might go and grab a tin of. Yeah, get some Baxter's tomato
Mulligatawny
soup.
Mulligatawny,
yeah, a bit of oxtail or something like that.
Yeah.
So tomato is your soup of choice then, Kaus?
I think so, mate. Yeah, a bit of pepper on there, loads of bread. I do like a bit of chicken as well, though.
Lovely. Rod, I'm sure you're a big fan of soup. You strike me as a soup man. Some would say a soup dragon. What are your thoughts on the soup situation?
Well, I think it couldn't be more wrong. I'm not a big fan of soup. Nah. So well, that is the last shocked. Option. Yeah, last option if thinking of something to eat, like soup or fucking uninspired nonsense. And it just reminds me of being ill. My mum would make me chicken soup. Yeah. And
I get it.
I don't like tomato soup, never have. I don't know why. I fucking love tomato ketchup, so I don't know.
Oh, right. I saw you drink a Bloody Mary, and although that wasn't a very good Bloody Mary, but that's essentially just cold tomato soup, isn't it? With vodka in?
Yes, with a bit of Tabasco, but yeah, I don't know why I order that, to be honest with you. I don't dislike soup, but it's just like something I would never consider having, really. You know, I don't think I've eaten it since I was about 14 years old, so... Saying that, though, no, actually, when I was a student, I did eat quite a bit of soup because it's obviously cheap and you can have it with oven chips. So,
Soup and chips, the classic.
If I'm going to go for any particular flavour, it would probably just be my mulligatawny, a bit of spice and then a bit of that type of flavour. So, yeah. Oh, oxtail, like Kaus just said, I do like a Bovril.
I never had oxtail. No.
But you drink Bovril, don't you? So, So yeah, that type of beef drink is nice. But then I agree with both of you. You got to eat soup, and you with a knife and fork.
Yeah,
yeah,
totally agree. My personal preference: butternut squash soup, very good. With a bit of chili in, and leek and potato with lots of black pepper. Solid choices of soup. Might have some tomorrow. No, you got the old soup buds tingling.
Why not mix them?
Maybe not. Right.
Like a slush puppy.
Oh dear. Right. Okay. That's it for tonight. Thank you very much for listening. I'm going to pick the song to play us out. It's Bithol by Mecht. We're big fans of Mecht on the pod. We've played a lot of this stuff. This is their latest single. They've got a new album coming out in October. It's going to be really good. Closing statements, Rod. Anything you've got to say for yourself?
No, not particularly. I'm sure I'll be back to 100% next week. So, because I'm operating on about 75 still very tired. So, until then, get in that truck and drive at 20 miles per hour down the road.
Rod, Kaus, even any closing statements from you?
Yes, keep on trucking, but within the limits, please.
Within the limits, of course.
I was just thinking about what the Swans fans said before, and I know how it feels. There's been times with Wrexham over the years, as you can imagine, where I've been a bit disheartened. But two things I'd say: stick with them, because there's always good times around the corner, no matter who you support. Apart from Leeds, obviously, Rod. Sorry about that. the other thing is, do you know what? If you're not enjoying it that much, have a couple of weeks off. Go and watch a local game. Go and watch your local team, and you'll get the buzz back for football as well. So I always say to fans of the so-called bigger clubs or the clubs who play in exile in England, get yourself down to the local club, and it can really rekindle your love of football.
Yeah, I do think as well. When you go through. When it's shit supporting your team, when it is good again, it's really good. And I think that Cardiff game was so good for most Cardiff fans because it's been so shit against Swansea for so long. So maybe if Swansea, want to say lose four games on the bounce to Cardiff, when they do beat us eventually again, because it will happen, whether it's next time or in four games time, then it's going to be even better, I think. Something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll love that idea.
Yeah. but yeah, hopefully I haven't come across as a cocky wanker more than usual. Maybe I do anyway. whatever you think of me. Right. Bithol by Meth is going to play us out. And of course, and before we go, a reminder that issue 11 is still available. And I should have mentioned this earlier. We'll talk about it in more detail in future podcasts. I am hosting a night at St. Fagans, discussing the phenomenon that is Welsh football fan culture, at the closing party for the brilliant Voices of the Red Wall exhibition. So that'd be really good. Come along to that if you're in the area. Tickets are available now online. You can see all the details on our social media. So yeah, that's that. Kaus, Rod, thank you very much for your time again. All the best, everyone. goodbye.